Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We never know when they're going to say we can't gather again. Amen. Father, I truly do thank you for this day. I thank you for all the people who came out. And Father God, I thank you that your angelic host is covering the church this morning, warding off every evil that would try to come through these doors, through the roof, through the floor. I thank you, Father God, that we are in the safety of your arms. And Father, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit is forever with us. Your angelic host are moving to and fro throughout the chairs. And now, Father, I'm asking you to do a special thing for those who came out this day. Answer the deepest desires of their heart, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just hearing God say the heaviness in the atmosphere is not going to dissipate. That the enemy is on the prowl. And he's using every weapon of warfare that he has to destroy the kingdom of light. And that we as children of light, we need to make sure that our light so shines that it will dispel all darkness. Wherever you go, your light should dispel the darkness. God spoke to me this week and said, we are in uncharted waters. And I know each one of you know that you are in a place that you've never been to before. And you're trying to figure out how to get through this place. So this morning, let's hope that through what God says, we can understand what's going on. We need to understand that the enemy is working overtime on God's children. And God said he was going to uncover anything that was not of him. And he was going to bring everything that's done in the dark to the light. So if I was you, if I was doing something I shouldn't have, I'd hurry up and get it over with. What I mean is repent. Because if you don't, God's going to bring it to the light. And it's better if you deal with it than have God deal with it. All right, uncharted waters in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I used that scripture because it says you have not passed this way before. Then he said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And we all know that God is trying to get us to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. And we all know that unless we really allow God to guide us through this, I call it a maze, that God has us in right now, we are not going to make it through. And the maze is a good maze, because what this is, he's leading us from where we were to the place that he would have us to go to accomplish the works that he has us to do. Okay? Now, in this portion of scripture, Joshua has assumed leadership of Israel. Moses had led them for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness. They are now on the border of a new country, a land of milk and honey. Though they had wandered for 40 years and faced many trials and danger, Joshua affirms that they have never been this way before. Now, I want to stop there. In this portion of scripture, Joshua, now who was Joshua? He was a young man, wasn't he? So you young people need to understand that you are the ones that are going to take over and do the leading of leading the world to Christ. And God is trying to get you, younger generation, free of yourself so he can use you in this mighty move that he wants to do. Now, the older people are going to be there to help you along the way. But you younger people, you're still sort of lagging behind. You're not really coming up to the plate the way God wants you to. You're not really sanctifying yourself the way God wants you to. And therefore, he can't use you right now to lead the people. And this is a fact. All right, let's see what God has to say here. My children, I am taking you on a new journey, and on this new journey, you cannot use the old ways. Now, all right, let's stop there. You older people, I'm one of the older people, don't try to make the younger people do it the way you used to do it. The way you used to do it was really super good, but now God is doing a brand new thing, using a brand new group of people, and we're going to have to make sure we are listening to the voice of God, following the voice of God, and doing everything that God is telling us to do, both old and young. God says, I promise you, you have never been this way before. This is uncharted waters, and the old ways will not work. Believe me, I know that. I've tried them. They are not working. Well, I don't try no more. But when I first started out on this journey, I was trying to use the old things. And God said, don't try to do that because they're not going to work right now in what we're going into. Now, what are uncharted waters? It's a circumstance or situation that is foreign, unclear, or unfamiliar, and which may be dangerous or different as a result. If you're in uncharted waters, you're in new and unknown situations that are unfamiliar to you, that you have no experience of and don't know what might happen. This is where the whole world is at, just not the body of Christ. If you're in uncharted waters, you're in new and unknown situations that are unfamiliar to you, that you have no experience of and don't know what might happen. Now, I've been praying to God, God, you have to show me how we are supposed to go through this uncharted waters. You've called me to lead other people, so therefore I need to know exactly what is going on here. There's too many voices out there saying too many different things, and that should never be. We should be on the same wavelength as God. And so I see God continually. I don't want to be one of the voices. I want to be someone who really hears your voice and knows exactly what we're headed for and how we should do it while we're headed that way. Each one of you sitting in here this morning should be doing the very same thing. You just don't want to be a voice mimicking what you've read somebody else say. You want to hear directly from God and know exactly how you're supposed to go through this. All right, let's put it this way too. Everybody sitting in this room, your walk is different than anybody else's walk. So God will lead you to your uncharted waters one way, but he might lead somebody else to their uncharted waters in another way. So don't be looking at how somebody else is doing it. Please don't do that. No brother or sister, no other church, no other pastor. You go through your uncharted waters the way God is sending you through them. All right? And I can guarantee you, if you're doing something wrong, God will either tell you, or if you're not listening, he will tell somebody else. He'll send somebody else to you to tell you that you're doing wrong. Now, God said, because you have never been this way before, you will need to hear my still small voice of instruction. You will need to hear my voice saying, turn ye this way. And Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, who is that voice? It's God. He leads, guides, and directs us through his Holy Spirit, right? My children, God says, my children, you must have an intimate walk with your Father if you're going to make it through this new era. Everything is going to be completely new. I have triggered a new dispensation of time that you shall walk in, and this new dispensation of time is going to bring in the last great harvest of souls before the second return of my son, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we go back there. He said, my children, you must have an intimate walk with your Father if You're going to make us through this new era. Everything is going to be completely new. Now, I want to stop, want to reread that, because what did he say about our wineskins? He had to take everything out because they were old wineskins. He could not put in a new in an old wineskin. And that's why God has been stripping us bare, trying to empty out the old self so he can put the new in there. Those of you who have yielded to the stripping, you're ready for God to fill you now with the new information you're going to need to walk through this uncharted waters that we're going into. This can be a scary time, or it can be the most happy time in your life, in your walk with God. Excuse me. Any way it'd be scary is if you're not intimate with the Father. Otherwise, you should be excited that you are a new breed and that you are a vessel of honor that God has filled to overflowing with his presence that he's going to use to bring in the lost and the dying. We do not want to be like the old church. We do not want to be double-minded. God said church is not going to be as usual. It's going to be different. And I really believe with all of the fiber of my being that one of the things God is saying in that statement is we are not going to do the things that the old church did to destroy people. You know, because we can all say with honesty that a church has hurt you in some way. And God is not going to allow that any longer. If we're not pure vessels of honor, then he's not going to use us. All right. Then over here, God went on to say, this is the most glorious time for the body of believers. Many have awaited this day, but never saw it. In other words, they died. You are a chosen generation. I have chosen to show you the greatness of your God. You know, you guys ought to really understand what God's saying here. He's been teaching you for how many, this group, how many years has he been teaching you? You are the chosen generation. You, each one of you sitting in here are the chosen generation that I have chosen to show you the greatness of your God. See, God wants to show you the greatness of him so you can take that to the nations. If you don't know the greatness of God, how are you going to go out there and convince somebody else that God is great or God is real? And I know a lot of people sit in the house of God that don't know that. They don't know the greatness of God. Don't you? We all know people who don't know the fullness of God. God goes on to say, you are the generation I'm going to use with great signs, wonders, and miracles. Now see, that right there should make you get so excited that you're going to do away with all flesh. And all you're going to want is an intimate relationship with the Father so he can use you to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. You are the generation that will bring forth a mighty miracle-working power that will bring multitudes into my kingdom. If you don't get yourself together after hearing that, then I just don't know how much hope there is for you. God needs you. He needs you right now. He doesn't need you 2 months down the road. He needs you right now to get yourself restored into the completeness and wholeness of who you are in Christ Jesus. God said, I have already begun this great and mighty works, and I will not stop until the second coming of my son, Jesus. Now, that's what God said. God is calling us on a new journey. God is leading us on a new path. God has been preparing us to enter into a new way where we have never been before. He's been doing that for quite a few years for this church. What's so new about it? There are new experiences to face, new problems to solve, new trials to endure, new temptations to meet, new sorrows to bear, new opportunities to grasp, new tasks to perform, new blessings to enjoy. How many of you have new problems you never had before? How many of you have had trials that you've never had to endure before? This is all new. Everything's new. Even what's going on in the world is brand new. You know, we never even thought of anything like this. Never. But here it is, it's upon us. And God wants to use us to bring hope to those who don't know what you know. I'm hearing God says a lot of hopelessness out there. All right, four things characterize this path into uncharted territory. Number one, uncharted territory will test your faith. Example, Israel was only successful when they continued in the will of God, which required trusting in his provision. I'm going to tell you from what I've been reading with a food situation, you're going to have to trust God to feed you more now than ever. Instead of us going around here with oversized clothes on, we'll be going around here with little gunny sacks on. Amen. All right, number two, the milk and honey of uncharted territory. We have learned from Abraham's experience with God, asking him to offer up his son Isaac as a burnt offering, that where God guides, God provides. We must walk into God's provisions before we can receive them. You know, Abraham had to do everything, you know, just go from step one to step 10 with his son before God provided the lamb, right? The third thing is the certainties of uncharted territory. This is four things characterize this path into uncharted territory. And the third thing is the certainties of uncharted territory. This earthly life is filled with uncertainties. Life itself is an uncertainty, right? But there are some things we can be certain of, some things you can always count on when we follow God into uncharted territory. I'm hoping this morning, I don't know where your walk is with God right now, but I hope that by the time you leave here, that you will be determined in your heart of hearts that you're going to walk with God every second of every day. And you're going to listen continually to his voice, because I'm going to tell you right now, guys, it's going to be hard if you don't. To be honest with you, I've never spent so much time praying and seeking God's face as I have been since all this stuff has started. Before, everything was, this is the way it's going to be. Now you don't know how each day is going to be. And that's why God told us, walk one day at a time. Enjoy that day, because tomorrow holds its own problems. Right? All right, I said there's some things you can be certain of. The first thing is God is in a certainty. Russell Lowell wrote that behind the dim unknown standeth God, within the shadow keeping watch above his own. God never changes. That's a certainty. God never changes. And God always told me, daughter, I'm working in the background. So God is always working in your situation, always. There's never any second that God is not working on your behalf. And you find that scripture in Malachi 3:6. All right, the second thing is Jesus Christ is a certainty. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ does not change. We change. We shouldn't, but we do. We're just like a fish out of water. We flip-flop all over the place. But Jesus doesn't. You find that in Hebrews 13:8. All right, the third thing, the church is a certainty. Matthew 16:18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In other words, the church is a certainty. God has built the church, and he's saying hell cannot destroy the church. It might destroy some of the churches people build, but it cannot destroy the church that Jesus Christ built upon the solid rock. Are you understanding this? Then the fourth is heaven is a certainty. If some of us are claimed by death before this year is ended, we know that to die is gain, in Philippians 1:21. And I think that anybody who dies has gained a whole bunch. They won't have to go through all this mess, right? Come on. Don't be crying and squalling and bawling because they went on to be with the Father. I think your problem is you would wish that was you. Then you wouldn't have to deal with this life that we have to deal with. Amen. Come on. I didn't want my mother to pass, and I did grieve for her, but I was so glad she was in a better place. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. the uncharted territory that God leads us into will test us. Test. How many of you have been tested? God, when do we get a break? When's summer break? Amen. Come on. It will point us to God's provision and offer us certainties. Number four, uncharted territory will offer new hope. It's been a long time for some of you since you have had a great faith event in your walk with the Lord. Some of you are saying, God, is it ever going to end, right? Number two, as we follow God into places and experiences we've never been involved in before, doors will open that would never have opened if we had failed to step out for the Lord's work. Now let's read that again. As we follow God into places and experiences we've never been involved in before, doors will open that would never have opened if we had failed to step out for the Lord's work. God's only going to open the door for you if you make that first step to step out and do something. Then God said again, in this dispensation of time, I am dropping joy unspeakable into those who love and know me, and you will walk in perfect joy. This is an outpouring of my uncontainable joy. He says, children, you must understand that joy is not a feeling, but it is your strength. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've seen too many in the house of God with no joy. And if you don't have any joy, then you have no strength. Isn't that what we just read? And God has been dealing with us about working on our joy. And getting our joy up. And that might be why we couldn't break through this morning. Some of you don't have no joy, not even your little toe. Amen. Come on. You know, we corporately either break through or we don't break through. It doesn't take much in a small church for somebody to bind the services up. You can have the right songs and do all the right things, but if you have people in the house of God that's walking around with like they've got their head cut off, you're not going to break through. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is also a fruit of the Spirit that is at work within us. That's a wrong statement. I don't see joy working within us, do you? Come on, let's be honest. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So you're supposed to have joy because that's a fruit. And I'm watching your fruit. And some of you look like dill pickles instead of joy, right? Demons cannot understand or speak the language of joy, and because of this, they lose all power as the joy of the Lord saturates the bride. I found that somewhere, and I thought that was a pretty neat statement, so I stuck it in there. Demons cannot understand or speak the language of joy, and they can't. Have you ever watched somebody demon-possessed? They have no joy whatsoever. And because of this, they lose all power as the joy of the Lord saturates the bride. In other words, if you're full of joy, then the enemy has no power in you or around you. If you're walking around all depressed, I'm depressed. Well, get out of it. Get your joy to working, right? Get your joy to working. Well, you can say that, but it's not that easy. Yes, it is, because I have to get, how many of you have to get your joy to working every day sometimes? You have to work, devil, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. I don't care what you do. All right? Now, Pastor James Graham says that the origin of joy is directly from the heart of the Father, thus not fleeting or changing. And I believe that. The heart of the Father is holy for his bride, and I believe that he is coming with such an outpouring of his heart over his bride that even the demons will shudder, shrink, and be disempowered when the ecstatic joy overwhelms his people. I think it was the last service we were in where God spoke so wonderfully over the people. And the enemy doesn't like that. If you ever notice, after you get a wonderful prophetic word, then all hell breaks loose, doesn't it? Because the enemy cannot stand the fact that you're happy or the fact that God revealed that he loves you. And God said, children, I am working within each of you individually a personal revival. And then as the revival starts in you, then corporately it will be taken to the nations. So if you're saying, well, you know, you need to be fasting, you need to be doing this and that and the other, so we get revival. What about you? God says he's working within each one of us individually. He's trying to get each one of us cleaned up and ready to be used for the revival. Just not one. Remember, God said one couldn't do it no more. It's going to take the whole body of Christ to do what needs to be done in this final hour. All right, we need to understand that there are three phases in any great work for God. Impossible, difficult, and done. Right? We need to understand that there are three phases in any great work for God. Impossible, difficult, and done. And we can all say amen to that, right? God said, children, in uncharted waters, you will need to apply my wisdom to uncertain circumstances. How long has God been preaching to us that we need to get wisdom? You know, he does everything for a reason. He knew that this day was coming, and he knew without wisdom, we would not be able to go through these troubled waters. We just wouldn't be able to, or charted waters. We just couldn't do it. So Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And with your wisdom, develop common sense. The body of Christ has no common sense. I've been saying that for over 10 years. I talked to people, I said, I can't believe the body of Christ has no common sense. So let's read this. This is your problem. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. So you don't have wisdom, so you don't have the other two things either, right? If you exalt wisdom, she will exalt you. Hold her fast, and she will lead you to great honor. She will place a beautiful crown upon your head. And that was in Proverbs 4:7-8 about getting wisdom. You each need to go home and read that. Wisdom is, in fact, a divine gift that is granted by God whenever any believer asks. You have to ask for wisdom. This is a clear teaching by James. You don't know how many times I go to Solomon who said, you know, God, I need wisdom to lead these people that don't have any common sense or good judgment. Don't y'all do that. Don't you have people that you're around, right? You know, so it's just not me. All right, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. See, if you ask, James says it's going to be given to you. Now, yet how many ask? How many pray? Solomon asked for wisdom, and it is this prayer that unlocked the riches of the world. And let's read that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 8. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people. Too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. You know, Solomon did not ask for all the other things. He needed wisdom. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. Well, that's not a good thing. I want the wisdom of Solomon, right? I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor. See, because he didn't ask for riches and honor, he just asked for wisdom to guide the people that God had placed before him. God gave him more than what he asked for. If we quit asking for ourselves and ask for the things that we need to help God, you know, lead God's people, we would find out that God will take care of us. Give me a new home, God. No, give me wisdom. If you give me no new home and I didn't have any wisdom, I wouldn't know how to handle that, right? Paul prayed for the Corinthian saints. I know a couple of you are looking for a new home, but I'm just saying, you know, we need to quit asking God for earthly things. We need to ask God for wisdom, common sense, and understanding so we can handle the things God does give us. Colossians 1:9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is what Paul prayed for the Corinthians. So why did he pray that? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why Paul prayed that prayer for the people. Now God said, children, seek wisdom from this day forth, the wisdom that will destroy all yokes and cause you to walk in perfect understanding of my ways and understand why I ask you to walk the path I have placed your feet upon. Children, ready or not, here I come with all of heaven to endow you with power from on high to bring in the greatest harvest of all times. Wisdom and discernment go hand in hand, and my children must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. I'm going to stop there a minute before I read the scripture. In case you haven't realized it, excuse me, we need to move on. Excuse me. We know all this. And I said, God, you keep telling us over and over again, we need to move on. We need to get this down into our spirit, and we need to move on to the great signs, wonders, and miracles. We need to move on to the Catherine Kuhlman ministry. I don't know about you, but we've sat here long enough hearing the same thing over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of saying the same thing over and over again and having God tell me when I ask, what do you want to teach? Here he comes up with the same thing he's already been teaching. We have outgrown our seats, and we need to be moving on, and we need to quit the spirit of lethargy that we have, or God's going to pass us by. And I know that God's laid this upon my heart the last 2 days. We need to move. The Lighthouse Church needs to move on. I don't want to lose what God told us we're going to do. I don't want to sit here and become stagnant. Because all this stuff that we've been reading, we've been doing this for years. What we really should do is we should be having a church that nothing but signs, wonders, and miracles moves in. And then you guys should be out there ministering to the people that come in and help them understand what's going on in their lives. Instead, we're still sitting here like little fat pigs being fed the same word over and over and over again, never moving forward. I want you to think about this. Come on. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. When Jesus told the 12 to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, he laid down a general principle about the technique of kingdom work. Jesus taught his followers that to be Christ-like in a godless world, they must combine the wisdom of the serpent with the harmlessness of the dove. As we take the gospel to a hostile world, which is what we have right now, we must be wise, avoiding the snares set before us. Jesus taught his followers that to be Christ-like in a godless world, they must... I wrote that twice. I'm sorry. And God said, remember always that I am with you, whether in the known or the unknown. Remember always that I am with you, whether in the known or the unknown, and I will never leave nor forsake you. I will be your constant companion in every avenue of life. Go forth harmless as a dove and conquer on all sides. Saints, it is time that we move on or just disband. It is time that you get your little druthers out of the way, get them under the blood, and act like a child of God. This thing of going back and forth and back and forth, one day you love, next day you hate, one day you don't know if you're God, next day you know you're God. This is a bunch of junk, and we need to stop it. So you're in uncharted waters, all right? So it's, and God's been telling us we're going to go away. We've never been before. He's been telling us years ago that we've been going to go there. We should already be there. We should be in those uncharted waters, not knowing what we're doing, but God leading us. He said, day by day, step by step. There's so much to be done in this cruel, dark world, and nobody's doing it. Nobody is doing it. When a person walks through that door, whatever's wrong with them should flee. Are you understanding this? Instead of you holding deliverance ministry, you know, one person for 5-6 hours and they leave bound, still bound, that shouldn't be. You should have so much power flowing through you that them devils are going to flee that person, just get away from you. That's the way it should be, but that is not the way it is. So you don't know how to go in this new way. God will teach you as you go. How do I know what to do? I have to pray. I have to seek God's face. My kids said, all you ever do is sit in there at that computer. No, I'm sitting there trying to hear God's voice. I need to know how to lead the people. Each one of you have a ministry. You need to be sitting in, I don't care if you're working or what, you can still talk to God when you're working. And you need to find out what God wants you to do and how he wants you to do it and where he wants you to do it. There's a whole lot of people, they're emailing me anymore. I don't understand what's going on in my life. I like to write back and said, I don't understand what's going on mine either. But what I tell them is we're all in the same waters. We're all in the same boat. Just take one day at a time like God tells us to. Now see, if I wasn't listening to God's voice, I wouldn't know what to tell them. I would just say, but if you're going to be a leader, you have to know where God is taking the people to. Come on. And the enemy is working overtime. We've already said that. And he is trying to discourage the, I don't know about you, but he's trying to discourage me every day. And but that doesn't work with me. I'm not going to be discouraged any day. I have to keep my head above water and I have to keep on going. It doesn't mean I might not sit down and say, God, but I always get back up and say, thank you, God. You know, I mean, come on now. We're not perfected yet. We're not Jesus. But we can do the work that Jesus called, that Jesus did in greater works. Now, how many of you are dissatisfied at where you're at in your walk with God? How many of you truly, truly, truly do want more of God than what you really have? You're not going to get it just sitting in front of a TV set. You're not going to get it making arts and crafts. You're not going to get it in it in, you know, going out and entertaining yourself. You're going to get it by getting in the presence of God and becoming intimate with him until you're so intimate with him that he speaks to you 24/7 and tells you exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And if you're trying to do it on your own, then you're lost already. If you're not relying on God to lead, God, and direct you, well, I have a mind, you know. Yeah, you do. You have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ that you ask God about all things. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he always go to the Father? Nod your head up and down there and say, yes, thank you. I'm looking right at him. He's going, come on now. Are you really worthy of the Lamb? Are you really worthy of all the things God has done for you thus far? Do you really want to see the lost and the dying brought into to the cross? Are you just content being saved? There's a lot of people just saved, but God told me, well, in the prophetic word, the word for the day, I didn't give it out yet, I didn't have it at home, but he said, you know, he doesn't have enough workers. So that's telling me that even though you sit in the house of God, you're still not a worker. You're still not one that God can send out to bring in the harvest. I'm hearing God say this is a very vital time in your walk with him. And the choices you make right now are going to determine what's going to happen to you a month from now. And you really need to get it right with God. You really need to just get rid of all your junk and just say, God, I'm going to do, I don't care what you put me through, I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to do the works you called me forth to do. Now, some of you in here this morning, God has spoken to you over and over and over again about what he wants you to do, and you're still sitting around pondering, what does he want me to do? This is a time right now when you need to get before God and say, all right, God, this is what you told me that you want me to do. Now, is this the time you want me to go do it? I'll do anything you want me to do. Is this the time? Listen to his voice. Hear what he says. He will say either yes or no. Or he will tell you exactly what he wants you to be doing right now. I started praying last night and God said, daughter, you're right where I want you to be. Just keep moving forward. Don't sit still. Just keep moving forward. I didn't even get the question out before he gave me the answer. See, God is always listening, waiting for you to talk to him. And the reason why you don't know where you're going is because you don't talk to him. Start talking to him. I'm going to tell you, I serve a God that's really anxious to hear my voice. He's proven that over and over and over again. Is God anxious to hear your voice? Of course he is. He's just wondering why you don't speak. So this morning, what God wants to do is he wants to intervene on your behalf. Break down the wall of division between that Satan has built between you and him, where you can't really hear his voice clearly and understand exactly what he wants you to do. And this morning, he wants to give you clarity of mind. Because, saints, God wants to use everybody in this room as a miracle. You know, wherever you go, a miracle should be occurring. Every one of you in here, not just one or two. So the altar's open if you want clarity of mind, so that you know without a shadow of a doubt what God's calling you forth to do.